All right, children. What's up, gang? Hey. What's up? How are you doing?
Good.
All right, I need you guys to really pay attention to this little story so you can figure it out, okay? There was this cowboy who really loved Jesus, and one day he was out fixing fences in the pasture, and he lost his favorite Bible. And about 3 weeks later, this cow came walking up to him, and the Bible was in the cow's mouth, and came up and gave it to the cowboy, and the cowboy goes, it's a miracle! And the cow said, no, not really, your name's on the inside cover. All right, do you guys get the miracle? What's the miracle? That he found the Bible and brought it back to him?
No.
What?
He was talking.
The cow was talking and could read. Oh my gosh, yeah. Do you guys, let me ask you a question. Do you like rules? Do you guys like rules? No, we don't like rules. No, sometimes, some of them. Yeah, some rules. Hey, school's getting ready to start in a couple weeks. Does school have too many rules? Nope, not enough rules. Too many rules. Too many, not enough. Way too many. Just enough. All right, ever the politician. All right, but think about it. You know, we have to have some rules at least, right? Let's think. We're going to play a game called I Wonder, and I'm going to say, I wonder if there were no rules about how our food was made. What would happen? What do you think would happen?
Your food would be gross.
Your food could be gross? How come? Could be poison?
Yeah, because
gross stuff in it? Yeah, like, you know, because there's rules today in food about,
yeah,
like they...
You don't follow the,
yeah, you don't follow the ingredients?
Like you have to wash the milk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You don't want to just have a cow and just drink it. You can't do that because there's some things in it.
Yeah, but some people do that. Yeah, because, like, there's rules that says, like, you can only have so many grasshoppers in your peanut butter and so many...
Yeah,
there's rules about that. And if we didn't have any rules, but if they didn't have rules about how your food was prepared or anything like that, then they'd be crazy. How about in our sports? How many of you like sports? What if we didn't have any rules in sports? What would it be like?
People would fight.
People would fight.
They would disagree.
They would disagree.
Hockey game.
They would throw the ball at other people. Would people cheat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you know who? They wouldn't know they're cheating. There's no rules to cheat. Yeah. How about on the road? If we're driving a car or riding a bicycle, if we had no rules.
You can do like 40 miles per hour and you go 100.
Yeah, we could go like 100 miles an hour. Yeah. Yeah, I grew when I was in middle school. I lived in Germany, and on their highways, you could go as fast as you wanted on their Autobahn. Yeah, it was crazy.
Dude, I wish we lived there. We could just go.
But we need some rules, right? Did God give us some rules? What rules did God give us to live by? Ten Commandments. Yeah. So He gave us Ten Commandments. Did He give us the rules because He didn't want us to have fun?
No,
He gave us the rules to protect us and help us. So this is the cowboy Ten Commandments. Somebody want to read the first one? What's it say?
Cowboy.
No, that's the title. What's this one say?
Just one God.
Just one God. We're only supposed to worship one God, right? There's no other God. Yeah. How about this one here? Somebody read that one. What's that say? Honor your ma and pa. Yeah. Your mom and pop wish you knew that one very well. Because in the Bible it says, if you do that one, it'll go well for you. If you don't honor mom and pa, what happens?
Then you may go to your room.
You go to your room, get your phone taken away, you get grounded. That's not good.
I never got grounded.
Yeah. So God gave us rules to help us get along. In the Ten Commandments in the Bible, the first four rules are how we have a relationship with God. And then the rest of the rules are about how we live with each other so that we don't, like, don't steal, okay? Don't take what ain't yours, okay? Don't tell gossip or tales. So it tells us how we get along with each other. So we have to have some rules because they are for our good, all right? Not to make us not have fun, but to keep us from getting in trouble, all right? So cherish the rules, try to live with them as much as we can, and make sure that we're trying to please God in everything we do. No, you don't have to read all of them. You know all the Ten Commandments by heart, right? You don't? Yeah, you do. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We pray that you would just watch over us. We know that you have given us rules and guidelines to live by, that we might live a life not only that is pleasing to you, but a life that would be a blessing to others as well. Help us to understand that we need some rules and we need some boundaries and guidelines in this world today. We pray that you would help us to make clear that we understand our rules and guidelines are those found in your word in the Bible. They tell us truth and they tell us what's right and wrong. We ask that you would watch over us and keep us in everything we say and do. And everybody said, amen. All right, you guys are off the Kids Connect. What? All right, is Pastor Dick up there? Yet? Pastor Dick up there yet? I don't. Oh, there he is. He is ready. All right, it is time to reap some more rewards and the fruits of camp. And so we turn it over to Pastor Dick for some baptisms.
Yes, it's awesome to be able to be a part of this morning. We had a great summer. One was baptized last week. Four more are going to be baptized today. Who knows, in the coming weeks, maybe more will join us in the waters. And it's just an amazing, exciting. If you haven't been baptized, but you are a follower of Christ, I encourage you to take that step. The enemy will work hard to convince you of things that he shouldn't be able to convince you of. And one of them is if you're baptized because you're a believer, you've taken that step of faith, and that's awesome. I'm going to start this morning with a prayer, and then I'm going to invite the girls to come down one at a time. Lord, this morning, as these girls are baptized, we are thankful for your work in them, and you know we know that you will continue to do that work until the day you call them home. And as they go through life, may they be ever so convinced of your love for them and your grace that they have experienced and know firsthand will always be there for them. No matter what they go through life, may they always know your presence is there. Lord, encourage them as they go along the way. Help us to be a church family, to love them and encourage them. May they know the power of your Spirit in their lives throughout their lifetime. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first we have Cassidy McPherson. Now, these girls were all part of the same cabin with Bridget, and Cassidy was one of the counselors, and she came up afterwards and said, when the girls were talking to me about baptism, said, I want to be baptized too, which is just awesome. So, yeah, you're good. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. So in accordance to his word, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. These guys up here are all like, woohoo! The next is Ruby Hettenbach. Yes. Ruby, have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the next is Lauren Wilcox. Lauren, have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes. They're busy videotaping each one. And Ava Hebb is the last one. Ava, have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, so we're hoping for four more next week. And if you're one of those, let us know. Praise the Lord.
There is a story about a cowboy by the name of Joe who left the ranch and went to the big city, and he was going to attend the big church. And when he got there, he came back from the ranch and he was telling all the guys in the bunkhouse about his adventure to the big city church. And so as he started to tell them a story, there was another cowboy named Charlie who had been there before, and he said, well, I'll kind of help decipher and translate for you. So Joe said, well, when I got there, the man told me to park my truck in the old corral. And Charlie goes, that's called a parking lot. And Joe said, okay. And he said, then I walked up the trail to the front door. Charlie said, well, that's called a sidewalk. He said, well, when I got up that sidewalk to the door, he said, there was a dude there that met me at the door. He said, that guy's called an usher. And he said, okay, but the dude led me down the chute. And he said, well, Charlie said, well, that chute's called the aisle. He said, well, when I got down the aisle then, he said, he put me in a stall. And Charlie said, that's pew. Pew. And he goes, well, that's what the lady said when I sat down next to her. Yesterday was National Day of the Cowboy. And the American cowboy, the culture of cowboy, has been a huge part of our country's history and the image of our country. When I first went to Germany, my dad was in the Air Force. I was in middle school. And we rented a house from a German butcher. And so this is in the 70s. And so all the kids in that neighborhood wanted to know how it was to live with cowboys and Indians and bison running all over the place. So we had to tell them, you know, that wasn't, you know, the way it was in our world today. But they were so fascinated with this imagery of the American cowboy. Now, much of what they knew about cowboys came from shows like movies with Gene Autry and Roy Rogers. You guys have probably ever seen them. You know who they are? You guys know who Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and Lone Ranger? You know who the Lone Ranger is? All right. It's going to kill a lot of the sermon. How about John Wayne? All right, good. Now we get the dude. Anyway, but that was their idea of what cowboy culture was like. And they grew up respecting the American cowboy because of that. Because, you know, Roy Rogers and his Riders Club had guidelines. They had rules for everybody to follow. Rules that included things like always obey your parents, protect and help the weak, be kind to animals and take care of them, eat all your food and never waste any, go to Sunday school regularly and love God, always respect the flag and your country. Lone Ranger had some guidelines as well. A couple of them were that all men were created equal, that everyone has within himself the power to make the world a better place, or that men should live by the rule of what is best for the greatest number. And so if you start to think about just some of these basic ideologies they had, and you think, wow, wouldn't our country be a better place if we could just follow those kind of rules? Wouldn't our church be a better place? And then wouldn't our communities be a better place? Now, much of what we know about those TV and movie cowboys is Hollywood, and it's scripted, but it comes from a background of a culture that lasted about 40 or 50 years. The whole idea and the romance of cowboys was a very short, really, period of time in our history. There's a man named Raymond Adams that wrote a book called The Cowman and His Code of Ethics. And he writes that when cowboys first started moving herds into this new frontier, he said that there were no laws on the range. And so cowboys had to come up with their own set of rules, their own set of codes. And we know that today is the Code of the West. Here's what he says about the Code of the West. These homespun laws, being merely a gentleman's agreement to certain rules of conduct for survival, were never written into statutes, but were respected everywhere on the range. They didn't have to have them written down. They didn't have to have a book, a law book. These were just the way that people treated each other, the way they interacted with each other. He said there were some laws. Adam said there were some laws on the books at those times, and they might be broken, but the code among American cowboys was a serious thing. And if you violated those codes, you may not face like legal charges, but you would face being ostracized, being outcast. And in a day and age where being with other people was important for survival, that was a huge thing. For the most part, men who came into this new territory raising cattle and doing cattle drives, they were men of great integrity. They were very hard workers. There was always a couple of bad eggs in every bunch. There was always somebody who was a gunslinger, wanted to have fights. There was always somebody who would rustle cattle. But for the most part, cowboys lived in pretty harsh conditions. They were frequently exposed to danger. They didn't make a lot of money. They lived very simple lives. But they were people of character. They didn't tolerate people who were mean, didn't have much room for cowards. They didn't like dishonesty. They hated people who were dishonest. They didn't like people who complained all the time. They didn't go for the mistreatment of ladies because real ladies were scarce on the frontier. And they were usually pretty tough as nails, but also very hospitable and generous. So if we take a look at some of these ideas today, these attitudes, these characteristics of what make up the lifestyle of the American cowboy, look at how we can maybe apply some of them to our life today. I think inside all of us is a little bit of cowboy. Today's cowboys are, you know, Star Wars and people like that, but the characteristics and attitudes are still a lot taken from the American cowboy. So what are some things that we can do? I don't think you have to have a boot. You have to have boots or a hat or a horse or cows to be a cowboy. I think it's something that comes up from within you. And I think if we just look at one verse today, if we would, you will see what it is. Acts 24, verse 16. In the Simplified Cowboy Version says, I try to always live right and with no regret in the eyes of God and my fellow cowboy. Now, for those of you that don't understand Simplified Cowboy, New Living Translation says, because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. So what are the things and attitudes and characters that we can take today? That we live life, always try to live right, and try not to have any regrets. Well, if you're looking at your bulletin, on the back of your bulletin, you have three letters. The S stands for simple. If there's anything that I could get you to take away today, it is simplicity. Cowboy life was a simple life. I always tell Sherry that I kind of wish I'd have been born in that time frame, 1850s, where people worked hard. It was a time of a good life, but a very simple life. And that's one of the things that Adams talks about in his book. He said that cowboys didn't make a lot of money, but they lived a simple, very good life. We see that when we go to Mexico on mission trips. The Indian villages that we go to, they lead a very simple life. Don't have a lot of money, but things like family and togetherness and unity were huge. And they were some of the most joyful people that we've ever met. So simplicity is a big thing. And I think that cowboys have a little bit better idea of this perspective of simplicity than we do, because I think they spend, if you've ever spent much time on a horse, life is just simple up there. You have time to reflect, time to look around. It's quieter. Most of us, our lives are done at high speed. We've got our engines redlined. We are running here and there as fast as we can, and as fast as we're going, we wish that we had another gear so we could get even more done. Or just go, 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 on the run. We live in a society that believes that's the way to live. To go faster, do more. Don't rest, don't be idle. And I think we have to get our kids to understand that, because we spend so much time, especially as parents, getting kids to this practice and then to this practice, and then we have supper, and then we have to get them to another activity. And then we just go and we go. And I think all this going has resulted in a society of stressed out, uptight, worried people. This morning I got up and was reading some news on the internet, and I saw the story of a man who left his one-year-old twins back of his car Friday morning, went to work. He had to run a bunch of errands before he went to work and was so distracted that he just forgot his kids in the car. And they died. We're busy. Psalm 39:4 says, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting life is. Now, when you hear that, and this would have been me, is that we think, my life is fleeting, my days are coming, man, I've got to get more done. I've got to go faster, I've got to be busier. There are so many things I want to do in life that I need to get after it. But I don't think that's the message that the psalmist is trying to tell us, because just a few verses later in verse 6, he says this, surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. Rushing about in vain, heaping up things that in the end really won't have much value or matter. I think what we have is a warning to slow down and to begin to enjoy life. In our summer tables this morning, that was exactly our lesson. And good to great, how to become from a good Christian to a great Christian was to slow down, enjoy the great moments in life, to spend some time savoring them, not running red line full out everywhere we go. The life of simplicity. What are the things that are most important to you? Write down some goals and then get rid of everything that keeps you from getting there. Learn how to say no. Now, as I say this, guys, you'll ask my wife. She'll tell you that I'm speaking to me probably more than any of you. How to say no. You don't have to do everything. And as parents, I'm telling you, your kids certainly don't have to do everything. They don't have to play every sport. They don't have to be in every activity. As a physical educator in a previous life and a coach, I would tell you that I long for the days when kids could just free play, where everything didn't have to be an organized activity, where somebody didn't have to coach everything that they did, that they just went out and played. Because I think I've learned over the years that family time is not standing around watching your kids be coached by other people to do activities. If you, as an adult, could only participate in one or two things, what would those two things be? What's most important to you? What is that holy discontent that you just have within your heart that says, hey, I got to do this? If you could only pick one or two activities, young people, what would they be? Would they be things that you've chosen to do? Or how many of you are doing things that your parents chose for you to do? Simplicity is an important thing. If there was one thing I could do for you today, I'd tell you to go out and get on a horse and go for a ride. There are times in my life where it seems like every time that I need a mental health break, I get to do that. Where Sherry used to do that for me when I was coaching and teaching. We could go to Cassidy. There was a man that had horses. We could go out and ride in the Flint Hills, in the fall especially. Watch the deer. Just slow down for a little bit. Much opportunity, a good opportunity just to reflect on the goodness of God. Go ride in the Flint Hills, man. What a beautiful place. She just found out this morning that, in fact, I'm taking a weekend off in September, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the Flying W Ranch up by Cedar Point. We're going to spend the week up in there. We're going to go on some sunset horse rides and s'mores around a campfire and just get away. Ronald Reagan, our president and a former actor, once said that there's nothing better for the inside of a man than the outside of a horse. And I believe it. I think, life just slows down there. I was telling somebody this morning, we went on a cattle drive not too long ago at the Flying W Ranch. They put me on this horse named Ox, maybe because they thought I needed a big horse. And I just couldn't, man, when it was time to, go sorts of cattle or something, I just couldn't get Ox to go very well. He didn't want to go real fast. And so when we got done, I asked Josh, I said, Josh, does Ox like trail rides better or cattle drives better? And he said, Ox just likes to eat. So I'm going to request Ox when we go up there so that I don't have to worry about going fast and can just spend some time in the saddle. Stop and watch. Enjoy the great moments in life. Enjoy a sunset. The second letter that you see on your page, there's the letter A. And in terms of cowboy culture and cowboy ideology, it is as good as one's word. Truth and honesty and integrity, standing for what's right, were vital to the cowboy culture. Let me share a piece of cowboy logic with you to get started here. Honesty is not something you flirt with. You should be married to it. To the cowboy, not only in the Old West, but today even, honesty is and was a given. It's vital. A man's word was his guarantee. It was his bond. Today, if you own a business, you've got to put up money to have a bond. In those days, there was no such thing. A handshake and a deal was done. People were trustworthy. Everything was done. Common bond between people at that day was truth. Cowboys at that time period came from all over the world. It's going to be a great picture of heaven, because people came from Europe to share in this romance and this image of the West. People would graduate from college and would go be cowboys. Slaves would become cowboys. People from all over, learned people, blue-collar people, would all come to participate in this idea of the American cowboy. Some of them carried classic books in their saddlebags. Many of them carried the Bible. There was nothing uncommon about when we lost a cowboy, to read over the cowboy's grave from the good book. It was a source of truth, it was a source of security, and it was a moral values. Bible was important. It was a guidebook for their lives, just as it should be for our lives today. The cowboy based his life on honesty and integrity, and it didn't just happen by chance. Those things were taught in school. Morality, Christianity, faith in Jesus were all important things. Many cowboys grew up modeling the very things that they had learned from the Bible. Their families knew and lived it out each and every day. They knew that the good book was the source of truth and the way that we should treat people and live. And so many people looked at the cowboy as a model. They defined what was real and true. People could count on a cowboy for being honest and truthful. And I think today it'd be great to have more people like that. If you think about our world today, what is truth? Truth depends on who you're talking to. Truth depends on what's important for the time and who's going to benefit from it. Whether it's right or wrong, again, depends on the person you're talking to and who is it going to benefit. If it's going to be a benefit for them, it may be wrong, but it may be right. And so we've lost that. It's become hazy in our culture. The one thing that cowboys detested was dishonesty, and God does too. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. The Lord hates anyone who cheats, but he likes everyone who is honest. Proverbs 21, verse 3. Do what is right and fair and pleases the Lord more than an offering. If you do what's right and fair, you please the Lord more than giving him your offerings. God doesn't desire partial truth that we have in our culture today. He desires the truth that's found in his word. Psalm 51 says, surely you desire truth in your innermost parts. It should come from deep within inside us. He desired that truth lives well within us, way down in there, so that it can't be changed by culture, can't be affected by culture, and so that other people will come to know what truth is. Cowboy way is to be honest and live a life of integrity. Usually, most often, that came from the Bible, came from the principles found in Scripture. I think I've shared with you before, I had a man in Manhattan that was an avowed atheist, didn't believe in an afterlife, but he came to church faithfully with his wife, and I asked him why, and he said, because the principles in the Bible lead to a good life. He wasn't trusting in anything for salvation, he just knew that the teachings of the Bible led to a good life. Let Jesus be your guide and the lead in your life, and he will teach you truth. All right, we get to the D now, in that those three letters, that acrostic, and D stands for devoted or loyal. Loyalty was huge for cowboy. If you've ever read or done much studying about that period of time, cowboys in the 1800s usually rode with partners or pairs. Again, it was important for safety, it was important for security, and just for company. Sometimes they might ride one season together, sometimes they might ride two or three, but they had partners. They traveled together, they ate together, they camped out under the stars together, and they protected one another. And man, when they had a day off, they whooped it up together. But it was important. There was a loyalty to each other. Think back to those TV cowboys and those movie cowboys that we know. They all had partners. They all had somebody with them. Gene Autry had Smiley Burnett, Frog Milhouse. Lone Ranger had Tonto. Roy Rogers had Dale Evans, and he also had Gabby Hayes, and then the Sons of the Pioneers. Now, if you know much about Roy and Dale, they were very faithful Christians, so that was probably one of the first small groups that they had. But they were always together, always partner. There was a loyalty among cowboys and their partners. It was usually unspoken, but it was a very strong bond. Partners and teamworks were an essential piece of the Old West. And when a cowboy signed up for work, he worked for the brand. The brand being the mark that they put on a cow or a horse that signifies ownership or who the cattle or horse belonged to. And he rode for that brand. Louis L'Amour, who was probably one of the greatest Old West storytellers of all times, wrote this about riding for the brand. The term riding for the brand was an expression of loyalty to a man's employer or the particular outfit he rode for. It was considered a compliment of the highest order. If a man did not like the ranch or the way they conducted their affairs, he was free to quit, and many did. But if he stayed on, he gave loyalty to the brand, and he expected it back. And that was important, again, because people's lives depended on it. Cowboys didn't tolerate backbiting or gossip or tale-telling. They didn't like liars. You know, the truth is, we shouldn't either. When the brand made a decision, the cowboy was either all in or he rode away. If you couldn't live with the decision the brand made, then you moved on to a new outfit rather than to stay and stir up trouble and do infighting. And I think about our culture today. I think about maybe the place of employment or where you work or even in churches. If people operated that way, if they were loyal to the brand, like say in church, if they were loyal to Jesus' brand and he's given us a job to do, to make disciples and go out, whatever the cost. We're taught in church to deny self, take up our cross daily, meaning to forgo our personal preferences, especially when the brand, whether it's the Lord or the church, has made a decision. And if not, if you couldn't do that, then you moved on to another brand. Rather than being divisive or quarrelsome or stirring the pot, you would move on to another brand. Proverbs 16:8 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict. Paul was going to visit the church of Corinth. In second letter to them, he says that, I'm afraid when I come, there's going to be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. All you have to do to get an image of that right now is take a look at our national government. Those kind of attitudes in church will grow our church right down to nothing. But herein lies the problem. Writing for the brand is not naturally easy for us as people. We're not very good at it. I mean, I want you to think for a moment. We tend to be selfish. We tend to want our way. That's why we have to teach little ones how to share. What's the most common word your little ones speak? Mine, mine, me, me. So we have to teach them what it means to share. We have to teach them what it means to get along. We're not naturally great brothers and sisters. We're not naturally great parents. Relationships in this day and age, man, tend to break down very easily due to selfishness. Because we can't be loyal to everything and everyone. We can't be 75% loyal or 80% loyal. That's not what God asks us to do. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Not just a piece of you, but everything. So as you look at those three letters, you're probably going, why did I pick those three letters? And you see the word sad. How many of you have ever seen the movie Monty Walsh with Tom Selleck? Anybody? The movie is placed right at the beginning of the 1900s. And at that time, culture's changing. Cars are becoming the norm. Cattle are being shipped more and more by train. There's less and less need for cowboys. And Monty and Chet have been riding the plains together for quite a while. And Chet saw this coming. He saw this culture change coming. And so he was going to get married. And so he took a job at the general store in town. Monty couldn't believe it. He was going to give up cowboying. And Chet looks at Monty and goes, Monty, nobody gets to be a cowboy forever. And I'm telling you, there's a piece of me that says, if we're looking at cowboy as a way of life, if we're looking at cowboy as an attitude and a characteristic, I find that very sad. Because I think we need more cowboys in terms of attitude and characteristics and lifestyle in our world today, whether they be real cowboys or whether they be slitty slickers who want to be. But I find it sad that that part of that kind of attitude and culture is not to be found as much. What if we could live the cowboy way? What if we could live simple lives, not running here and two, chasing our tails all the time? What if honesty was a big part? What if everybody was as good as their word? And what if they were devoted? What if they were loyal and not only interested in selfish ambition or what they could get out of something? Think about your homes. Tony Evans says that we would have better homes if we could live that way. If we had better homes, we'd have better churches. If we have better churches, we'll have better communities. If we have better communities, we're going to have better counties. If we have better counties, we'll have better states. If we have better states, we'll have a better country. And if we have a better country, we would have a better world. And so while nobody gets to physically be a cowboy forever, the attitude and the characteristics and the lifestyle, I think, should continue to live on and be more prevalent today. I'm going to leave you this morning with one last piece of cowboy wisdom. A person should count himself blessed if he can look back on his life and say that he's had at least one good horse, one exceptional dog, and one true friend. Now, if I could get you guys to help me on the horse part and convince my wife that I need an exceptional horse. I've had a good dog. I had one dog for 17 years, and she was pretty special. And I have a really good riding partner and my friend Sherry. But more importantly, I'm thankful for the friend today that I have in Jesus. Jesus is the one true riding partner. Doesn't have good and bad. Jesus rides with us through everything. Every storm, every trial, Jesus has promised that he would be with us forever. But we have to choose to be a riding partner with Jesus. Jesus is not going to force his way into being our partner. He wants you to choose riding with him. He wants you to choose riding for his brand. And so today, if you're here, as you've just witnessed, we saw four young ladies choose to ride for the brand, for the kingdom of God. And if that's you today, if you've never chosen to ride the trail with Jesus, maybe today's the day. It's a wonderful relationship. It's not going to always be an easy relationship. Conditions can still be harsh. Times can be difficult. You still may not make much money, but he'll always be there for you. No matter where the trail leads, he's promised to be there. And he wants to ride with you. If you've never, again, chosen that trail or that riding partner today, don't walk out of here. Again, life is fleeting. Death is just a breath away for some of us. And once you take the last breath, it's too late. You don't get to ride in the glory and splendor of heaven. You'll ride into eternal torment, separated from God. Because all of us are sinners. Again, all of us are naturally selfish people. And that selfishness separates us from God and his brand. So he sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for that selfishness so that we could ride with him forever and ever in eternity. So if you leave here today, please make sure that that's a trail that you've chosen to ride. Ride with Jesus, and if you're looking for a brand to ride with in First Baptist Church, we'd love to have you say, hey, I'm all in with you guys and the mission that you're doing. We'd love to have you be a part of our brand as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you that you cared enough for us, that you didn't want us to be separated from you for an eternity, that you wanted to ride alongside us in life, no matter what we face, no matter the problems, the struggles, the trials. And we know that we can invite you into our life to ride beside us. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. In fact, the word's very clear. The truth is that when we choose to ride for your brand, we may even have more difficulties. But we know that you will be there with us, not just for one season, for two seasons, but for all seasons from that moment forward. So I pray today, Lord, if there's somebody here that has not chosen to ride that trail, that you would be with them, that you would make clear in their heart that there's the best way to ride, the best way to go. That we would take time to slow down and enjoy the great moments in life. That we don't have to be chasing our tails. That honesty and integrity still have place in our country today, and they're found through you. In our ride with you, we develop and we learn that more and more. And that you'll be devoted to us as well. Loyalty, not just for a day, not for just what we can get out of it, but loyalty for a lifetime is an important characteristic. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your son Jesus' death on the cross, that we would have the hope of eternal life in heaven. Pray that you would bless us, help us to live in such a way that we're always right with God, and with our fellow cowboy, that others may come to know your son as Lord and Savior. Pray these things in his name. Amen.